Genesis chapter, the first time that we see in scripture that men on the face of the earth decided to reach out to heaven for reinforcement, for support, for influence, was in the book of Genesis chapter 5. But the first time we see a very good exposition of such a concept, the concept of priesthood, we see that in Genesis chapter 8. I'd like us to look at that passage. It lays out the very concept of priesthood and how that earth is expected to partner with heaven. Earth is expected to give heaven permission for interference. Genesis chapter 8. Verse 20 is my emphasis. Maybe before the reading, or okay, after the reading. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savour, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, and neither will I again smite anymore every living thing as I have done. 22, which is a very common scripture. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. Now look at verse 22 again. If we still remember elementary geography, what is responsible for seed time and harvest? What is responsible for cold and heat? What is responsible for summer and winter? Just elementary geography. Who can come to our rescue? Elementary geography. What is responsible for that? All right. Yes, elementary geography. Not revelation. It's not a revelation. It's just geography. Times and seasons. No. Elementary geography. What is responsible for those three parameters? Cold and heat, summer and winter, seed time and harvest. Please, be quiet. Be quiet. You see, when we don't... Let's listen to someone that is about to respond. Priesthood is critical. Priesthood is deep. So let's try to understand it.
Day and night is...
No, leave day and night. I'm not asking about day and night. The three constants that I spoke about, they run on the same principle. Day and night has an exclusive principle. So there are two things that are at work there. All right.
Okay, summer and winter.
Summer and winter, cold and heat, seed time and harvest. It hangs on one principle. What makes those things possible?
The revolution of the earth.
The revolution of the earth around the sun is what creates those possibilities. And then the rotation of the earth around this axis is what creates day and night. Please don't forget that. If I press further... Are you with me? You're not with me? Okay, we'll talk about that when we come to intercession. Those two things that have been raised are critical for us to remember and reckon with if we are talking about establishing priesthood in a particular territory. Sometime in the... Now, we are going to do a lot of praying tonight. I just want to share with us the experience I had, the encounter I had that led to the emphasis or the theme for our conference this year, the prayer ministry of the church. Hallelujah. You see, the church is about to lose her relevance. The church is about to lose her place in the scheme of things. Those days when there was crisis in the nation, a prophet was sought for. It's not as if the kings wanted to submit to those prophets. But they were caught up in circumstances that were orchestrated from the realm of the spirit. So they needed technocrats that understood how spiritual things work out. So the prophet had a seat in the running of state affairs. Most often, that seat was not occupied until times of crisis. And then suddenly, the prophet comes with wisdom as to how the activities orchestrated from the spirit can be overturned. The church had a voice. The prophets had a place. But today, we seem to be running a system that has not found the relevance of the church. Hallelujah. The church is begging for relevance. Believers are begging to be part of the scheme of things. That's an aberration of the order. It means there is something we have missed that is responsible for our irrelevance in the scheme of things. Intellectuals, philosophers, people of repute sent to Jesus. Even the Greeks came to consult him. There is no way our spirituality can be accurate and it doesn't have the capacity and the stature of influence in society. There is no way. If we are beginning to lose relevance, it means we are lacking contact with the vital matters that are responsible for our influence, our coverage, and our reach. Hallelujah. Now, the scripture I just read to us. Please don't mind the children, they're just having fun. When we start praying now, the Holy Ghost will come on them. Hallelujah. The scripture that I read, it's the first time we see a man practice priesthood clearly, with clear intentions, with an understanding of a response. He knew what to do to get God's attention. At this time, there was a chaotic event, such as had never happened before. The fountain of the great deep was broken. The windows of heaven were open. Floods came down the earth. Lasted for about 40 days. Took many other days in order for soil, land to appear so that normal life can start again. There was a lot of uncertainty that found expression in the environment of this scenario. And it came to pass when Noah found safe landing after many days of traveling on water. He knew that one thing was sure. And what he was sure of was the fact that if God could destroy the world once, then he could destroy it again. And so he had to come to God. He had to approach God in a negotiation. That was the reason for the priesthood that is set up. The negotiation was to engage God. Now, let's check the coordinates that are available to us in this scripture. First of all, the Bible says he builded an altar unto the Lord. Now, if I'm not mistaken, this is the first time an altar is erected unto the Lord. There were other altars that were erected to other things, but this is the first time we're seeing it in scripture, that a man erect sets an altar unto the Lord. I want to connect with heaven. I need to understand the position of heaven as touching the uncertainties that currently befall the earth. The Bible revealed that he did what? He erected. Now, you will notice that what he is doing here is very conscious. He erected an altar unto the Lord. Okay. Having erected the altar, I'd like us to see the kind of sacrifice that he brought before the altar. You might read this scripture, read the sequence of scriptures that we have looked upon just now, and you might say, we are not sure of his prayer point. His prayer point was not obvious. No, his prayer point is in form of metaphors. Prayer point is very clear. Now let's check his prayer point and understand his motive. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. What is a clean beast? What is a clean fowl? For instance, according to the law of Moses. Because at this time, the law of Moses had not yet come. It's in the law of Moses that the elaborate prescription of what was clean and what was unclean was spelled out. So by which creed is this guy classifying the creatures to be either clean or unclean? I don't want to go into that. It's a lot of theological trouble. For instance, according to the law of Moses, a duck is unclean. And Moses, through revelation and penetration into the wisdom that is in the spirit realm, was able to unveil to us the nature of certain creatures that make them unclean. Are you with me? Like a pig is unclean, a duck is unclean. So you say animals that have hooves, like a cow that walks on hooves, say those ones are clean. You say a duck that has something, what do they call that kind of feet? It's a webbed feet. That creature is not clean. What exactly is the philosophy behind clean and unclean? You will know that after the fall. Are you with me? After the fall, something critical happened. According to the book of Psalms 82, verse 4 and 5, the Bible says, they know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness, and all the foundations of the earth are out of course. Now, the implication of the fall was that it altered the foundations. That word foundations in its rendering and from the linguistic perspective refers to the principles of operation, or what we call a manual in our current time. So the implication, the direct implication of the fall was that the operating system, the manual from whence creatures were supposed to find their purpose, find the reason why God had created them and how they were expected to function, that manual was withdrawn on the account of the fall. So a mighty distortion took place to the visible creation on the account of that fall. Are you with me? For instance, mosquito. Mosquito was not created to bite people. But when the manure was withdrawn, mosquito now became compatible with blood. Every clean creature, clean creatures are creatures that were not affected by the fall. They still maintain their lot in the context of the original manual. Are you with me? Oh my, you are not here. I hope you know. Please walk with me. Walk with me. I hope you know, according to the prescription for man, because the design for man is that he was to be created in the image of God and after the likeness of God. Are you with me? As I was teaching in Bible school today, what image is? I told them that I asked the class if they had seen a hand glove before. Because a hand glove was manufactured in the image of a hand. Because the purpose of the glove is that one day it will play host to a hand. And so man was created in the image of God, because the idea and the intention is that someday, sometime, God is expecting man to play host to him. It is the image of God that gives us the capacity and the potential to be able to contact God, contain God, and express God. That's what the image of God has given us the capacity to become. Are you with me? Now, see, that is to say, according to the creation architecture, man is supposed to function by the power of another, in the image of another, in the likeness of another. So man was not created to operate like man. He was created to operate like God. But when the fall came, the possibility of man operating like God was no longer in view. That means the operating system, the manual, was what? Now, so he's going to function after another philosophy entirely that was different from, so you get it, so different from what God intended originally. And so this guy, before he, now there was a lot of revelation in this sacrifice. Because even before the law came to spell out what was clean and what was unclean, this man knew by revelation. And the Bible says that, what did he offer? He offered what? Clean creatures. Clean beasts, clean birds. He was informed of the fact that the fall had set in, and many things have taken on another purpose, another agenda, another outlook. That only the clean creatures retained their original purpose, capacity, and mission. All right? And unfortunately, because if I were him, I wouldn't have done what he did. Because in my own opinion, we were not informed that Noah took extra animals. Is that in your Bible? We're not informed. And if he was going to take clean creatures for sacrifice, it means that there were several species of animals that we never got to see because Noah had to sacrifice them. Now, so Noah kept them for 40 days and 40 nights, only for him to come out and what? If what he wanted to do was not so important as to make the line of several creatures extinct, if his priesthood was not so important, there would have been no need for him to do that. But what exactly was his prayer? What exactly was his intercession? Because what he was praying was that, see, Lord, God of the heavens, I don't know what you did that these creatures were not affected by the fall. But I offer them to you. Now the earth is a victim of the fall. The foundations of the earth are distorted. The foundations, just like the foundations of Benway. We thought that, okay, maybe upon the election of a Christian governor, suddenly the land will rise out of obscurity. The land will become that warrior that it was intended to be. The grace of God will suddenly break out. And the thief nation, the domination, that has been asleep, will begin to lead the other states to the Lord. And so this nation will be able to rise and take on her full apostolic stature as a nursery where God comes to test, run his experiments before he exports it to the nations of the earth. I thought that we would be leading other states in godliness because of the results that are finding expression, because of the economy that is working out, because of things that are finding expression according to the will of God. You become obvious that God is our king here. I thought it would happen. But you see, when you become a governor after the fall,
hey,
then you need to introduce priesthood. when a mighty dark colossus like Susuan is the one that left the seat, before you are coming to occupy it, if the fall has taken place in his full temper, in his full capacity. Only God knows, even in that government house, how many virgins were buried, how many people were buried, how many pregnant women were buried. And you know, my village, I still remember how to go there. My people are necromancers. In witchcraft, they kill people and blood spills on the ground. But in necromancy, they bury them alive. The level of demons, the number of demons, the kind of demons that are summoned when a human being is buried alive and he dies, he suffocates and dies on the ground. Let's not go there. Let's not go there. Let's leave it. Let's leave it. What happens when you do that kind of stuff is that you have raised a mast, what we call a mast. On the strength of that infrastructure, many covens can live off that mast. Many, many, many kinds of sorceries and magic. They have a convenient network to operate. Especially if the number of the people that were buried was after the requirement of the mystery of necromancy. And then you come to become a governor after the fall. And when you come, you rush and sit down instead of you to slaughter one of the clean creatures. You didn't present anything. Please help me tell your neighbor, it's not by power. It's not by mind. It's only by the Spirit of God. This man considered everything and he saw that it was falling. There was no prospect left. There was no destiny left. In fact, there was no guarantee that life can be supported. That was not a good way to start. So he started by jeopardizing the family tree of some creatures. He said, this one was not affected by the fall. And I don't know why this was not affected. This bed was not affected. And he gathered them. And he erected an altar to the Lord. And what he was saying by the kind of creatures that he offered was that, God of heaven, I don't know what you did to these creatures that the fall did not affect them. I'm sacrificing them to you, so that you will reveal to us how life can be stabilized in this falling world, so that there will be we can be assured of a future. We can be assured of set possibilities. Are you with me? You are not with me. Intercession can create a way where there is no way. And I assure you right now, there is no way in this land. There's no way. Forget about what they... Sometimes it's better not to even listen to news. I trust my visions that I see in my bedroom much more. The news is a lie. It's a lie. Kai, it's a lie. The intercessor is that infrastructure that creates a possibility, a working system. It creates a pathway for the creation of new life, new possibilities, new realities. He negotiated with God and said, I don't know what you are going to do. Yes, the fall is in view, but you need to guarantee that life on earth can be such as we still be within the context of purpose as you ordained it from heaven. And then the Bible says that God smelled the offering. That means what he did ascended to heaven. His priesthood got to heaven. Now, you are not with me. You are not with me. Let me tell you something. This man, there was nobody that did this thing that this man saw and he copied. And no, he didn't see. This man was operating purely by revelation. You might have seen the landscape of your family and you just discovered that before I showed up, there was a fall here. There was a fall. You don't deal with the fall by coming and speaking English, a lot of lingo. I want to tell you that just because you came physically is not a proof that there is any solution. Your physical appearance cannot change something that has already been programmed from the realm of the spirit to fall, to fail. It takes priesthood to reverse that trend. And if the church of Jesus at this critical point in time does not return back to priesthood, we will lack the ability to create a way, a passageway, a navigation way in this time where there is no way. And would have lost out of the game. The fear that we'll lose relevance will become established. Hallelujah. A fall. What do you expect? My grandfather being one of the most enlightened sorcerers in that jungle. He was very enlightened, very educated in the way of darkness. And he did that, and his own father did that, and they did all kinds of stuff. I heard that they could heal all kinds of diseases. But you will still die, but you won't die that time. They had power to make a dead man speak and to reveal who killed him before he dies again. You know, so before we came up, there was a fall. The foundations were out of course. And when the foundations are tampered with, it means the delicate balance upon which grace and truth were supposed to rest has cracked. Only technocrats can work at that time and change the variables through priesthood. Place was rigged. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah.
Amen.
I remember in those days in nursery, those days we had nursery one, nursery two, those days. You know, nursery one, nursery two before. My brain was as sharp as a blade those days. So sharp that I didn't do class 3. Nursery 1, nursery 2, class 1, 2, 4. From 4, I wanted to go to from 1. My father said, if you run like this, life itself, we run and leave you. Now, I had a belief. My belief was that if there are human beings in the class, I'll be better than them. That was my belief. I don't know by what means I stumbled on that belief, but I had that belief. Alright? Now, when I got to the university, it became worse. My mental capacity became worse than what it was. That is worse as per more terrible. And I discovered one day that I could just cram the whole textbook. I didn't know that before. So the handouts that they gave us that I crammed, except you can fail your handout, you can't fail it. But I remember in 300 level, when some spirits, evil spirits, I will cram like that and they will touch my head like this. And the thing will. Now, it was not because the brain was no longer working. It was because the foundation was out of course. Because there was a fall. And you want to stand on the fall and have a predictable life, the fall insists that there should be no predictability in your life. That the outcomes of your life will be determined by the fall. Except a technocrat rises and knows what to take to the creator so that he can amend the constitution and add a clause that creates a possibility for continuing. Strange things began to take place. Sometimes when you are in the class and you are teaching, and you want to ask a question, before you finish asking it, I know where you are going, so I answer you before you. I will tell you the answer before you finish. And then sometimes people say, okay, I'm occultic that I read the mind. The brain. But what happened? Have you ever... Oh, you have not gone on a boat before. We go to work on a boat. So when you are jumping from the rope to speedboat, they'll say, don't jump like this. Because if you jump like this, there will be a problem. Jump, open your leg, and you land. When you land, tap the side of the boat so that we will not all of... You know why? The foundations are not reliable. So you too need to change the way you walk. You change to... Something are taking place that have changed the price tag. So we don't know what to expect in the days to come. This man decided to advance and to chart the course of life by priesthood. Jesus. Have you not heard those threats from the coven that you will never marry? Those are not empty threats. Those are foundation realities. Foundation realities that say no matter how you start, this is how you will end. You will end childless. You will end. It will take priesthood to overrule that law. Even if there needs to be an amendment. Technocrats in the spirit know how to secure it. That was what Noah revealed. Oh, heaven responded. Have you realized that the mosque is not a place of worship? It's just a place of prayer. The mosque is a prayer house. The first thing you do after you become a Muslim is to learn how to pray. It's a prayer house. It's a law enforcement area. And then hire people who understand how to mix the satanic verses and sorcery, know how to use it to curse. Those ones do it during times of alignment, from 12 midnight to 2 a.m. Why? What are they doing? They are trying to enforce the fall to take a bitter effect on your life. They are cooperating with the fall. You see, they are swimming along the tide, so it's easier. You are not with me. Okay, you guys grew up in the town. In my accordion. They make way. You have not swam before. It's easier to swim along with the tide. So the guy that is practicing witchcraft is in alignment with the fall. The elements submit to him. They submit to her. The water submits. The sun, the stars, they submit because of the fall. Hallelujah. So the person begins enchantment. Begins incantation. And then suddenly the powers of creation align with such a person. Because to bring an assault, a bitter assault on a particular human being. And that one does not understand that in order for you to swim, I stood on the highest tank in Lagos. I mean, petrol depot, the highest tank. It's in satellite. It's high into the heavens. When you climb it, it's how many steps? About 335 steps. Like this. Keep going. Just don't stop. Just. There's no place to stop. So. By the time you. And when you arrive there, don't breathe like this. No, you'll be taking in fuel, gas. Yeah. Oh. I came back from Lagos strong. Hallelujah. Then I go when I got up there, and I saw serious wind started blowing. I almost fell off. Then I look for how to, you spread your legs so that you have some balance. Then I saw a bird trying to navigate. And the wind stopped that bird. Because the bird wanted to fly against the tide. The bed was still for 15 minutes. I was watching that side. Was still, and the wind refused to give up. And then eventually it was the bed that gave up. And God began to use it to teach me. That's why I say you should come first, so that I will teach you. When masonry and witchcraft begin to operate, you see, the fall supports them. So they are aligned with it. So it's easier for them. You want to flow against the tide, and you don't have basic capacity for consistency. Don't do that business. Look for something else to do. The bed was there for 15 minutes. I saw it, but it lost. Even though its feathers and wings were given to it by God, it could not. So there are some times when you are going against the tide, you are on one spot. It's not as if there's no effort. What you don't understand is if you stop flapping the wings, where will you go? It will go the way of the prediction of witchcraft. And then it will look as if witches are more accurate prophets than believers. There is a call back to our parent function as people of God. I saw that bed. The bed could not survive the wind. Hallelujah. Now, so when he finished the sacrifice and he offered it to God, what was the implication? I'd like us to see the response of heaven. God had to amend the constitution. God had to add something that did not exist before in order to create a pathway for the petition that has risen to his courts and to his chambers in the heavens of God. Notice that when the constitution was amended, God did not make a public proclamation. Oh my. Are you with me? No, you are not. You are not. Today we are going to fly against the current. Against the current. Now, have you ever prayed before and the prayer was dry? How many of you have experienced? I know your own prayer. Anytime you come here, you are gliding. You are just moving like that, soaring. Many times, when you really start praying, and when your prayer is confronting something, a pattern that has been set in motion, something that has been fixed by tokens, by covenants and truces in the spirit, when you are coming against it, it's as if there's no support. That's when your prayer is most effective. You are striking at the heart of the real thing. That's when you are striking it. So people that are chicken out too easily never get anything done. Never. It takes a stubborn, a radical, it takes a rebel against the devil to see the other side of the sun. I watched that bed. The bed kept doing this. But you see, the force that was coming was equivalent to his. So it was as if he was stagnant. And I now discovered why many Christians, they are doing like this. And they are wondering why they are stagnant. They don't know that if they stop doing like this, the prediction will come to pass. And just in case they were able to do like this enough for 3 more minutes, maybe the intensity of the wind would have waned and they would have secured the passage. And you see, in the spirit, when that shaft is broken, and somebody flies in that direction, that's the first flight in 1,000 years. It will be your life that will determine the next limit for the family. But you will not know that that was your day, that you were supposed to expend yourself and do what has not been done in 1,000 years. You will now do small and say, I win. When last did you rebel against the devil? Some of us are alive today because we rebel. Mureke sanamunda. I say, I saw Satan. They sent Satan to me. I saw Satan. After fighting for 12 years, Satan turned backward. Satan, the one you read about in the Bible, he turned backward. Satan can turn back. Even a beast can beg. The way Susuan ruled, who thought his name would be blotted out like this? And let me tell you something. Communism was stronger than Islam. Yes, it was stronger than Islam. It controlled the state. It controlled everything. It was on the throne. It was a type of rulership. It was government. It fell. When men like Noah rise, a way is made where there seemed to be nowhere. It fell and it crumbled. Who told you that Islam cannot fall? It's weaker than what the church has contended and won before. But you see, it happens to be that this demon is our demon. It's the demon that is in our own generation. Our fathers brought communism down. We must see Islam come down so that in our old age, let it be that we'll tell the story to our children. There was once a caliphate, a seat of power, an image of jealousy that was raised and lifted in the land. We saw its end. May you have that strength to see the day where the wind will wane in the name of Jesus Christ. Verse 21, before we begin to pray. And the Lord smelled a sweet savour, and the Lord said in his heart, you see, I was expecting that now that the constitution is to be amended, that a proclamation will be made. Where was the utterance that was released? Where? In his heart. I thought that God will make a public proclamation. Now the basis upon which your life will be established is different. I'll keep some variables constant so that if you know how to deal with these variables, you'll be able to determine what is to come, irrespective of Satan, irrespective of the fall. Now, let's go back to the variables. Seed time and harvest. Summer and winter. Cold and heat. Day and night. Is that not so? He said, I'm going to hold those constant. They will always come and they will always go. I'll make them constant. If you know how to deal properly with this constant, your life will be predictable. And among all the constants, there's only one of the constants that you can influence, which is seed time and harvest. Now, I don't have time because I would have shown you, you know, I divided those constants. 3:1. Okay? You can rise. I pray better when there's sound. I see better. We need all the sight we can get. So that when the way is made in the wilderness, we'll be able to see it. When rivers are released into the desert places, we'll be able to identify it. When the rock begins to give a drink of life, we should be able to trace it. We need all the vision we can find from the Lord right now. Because as we offer unto him this sacrifice, it's going to be with a response, an escalating response that will set the stage and determine the variables by which possibilities will abound. If you check those four variables, there is only one that you can influence. That's seed time and harvest. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah.
Amen.
But unfortunately, when you trace the principle of sowing and reaping to the New Testament, there are only two options of how you can sow. Are you with me? I don't have enough time to show you to trace that principle until we get to the New Testament. But when you so do, you will find out that the only two options of where you can sow, you can either sow into the spirit or you can sow into the flesh. The Bible reveals that him that sows into the spirit, of the spirit he shall reap life. And he that sows into the flesh, of the flesh he shall reap destruction, corruption. We are going to spend the next 1 hour. We are going against the tide. I will insist that they fall will not stand. Even if it would take an amendment of the constitution. Even if God would decide not to proclaim the result of our priesthood, that it will be hidden in his heart. Something that kings will need to seek to find. Because the Bible says that it is the honor of the Lord to conceal the matter. The honor of kings to search it out. So as God spoke it in his heart, it means we'll still need to do some searching to find out the new legislation that has been released. Ogbe, I know you have been contending with so many things and all of that. You are like that bird that I saw. If for any reason you get to a point where you are frustrated, the death of an intercessor, the day an intercessor is destroyed is the day you become tired. I am tired. When you start engaging things in the great deep, make sure that is your lifestyle throughout your pilgrimage. There was nothing the devil didn't do to shut my prayer life down in Lagos. I knew he wanted to kill me. I knew. Death was looking for me. There was a mistake I made many years ago. I have not forgotten that mistake. Is to pray. I prayed and I saw that God answered. That was all I needed. Even if I'm sick. Eh? And the sickness does not affect the mouth. Oh, marakomene. Kurata la kala bakaba. I read the books of great men that held God. They were able to handle things that were not visible. And this was a common denominator that I discovered. They fasted often and they prayed much. That was enough for me. An entire reading of a book, that was what I got. Fast often. Pray much. Fast often. Do what? Pray much. And I decided to pray deliberately. You know, some of you pray when the Holy Ghost moves you. That's good. But you must learn how to pray when you are not moved. That is better. We pray intentionally. You pray deliberately. This priesthood, this act of priesthood in the book of Genesis chapter 8 was intentional. Because it required building an altar. Eh? Do you build a house in your sleep? You are sleeping and then you wake up. It was intentional. And I decided to fast. And I decided to pray. And I started praying. And I started praying. And I started praying. It was not easy. But you see, prayer is a spirit. When you start praying, what you are doing is that you are calling the spirit. That spirit will possess you one day. When it possesses you, it becomes natural for you to pray. Just like it's natural for you to talk, but it's not natural for you to pray. It is supernatural. To talk to a spirit, you need to be strengthened in your spirit. That's why whenever you want to pray, you find yourself. You see who I'm talking to? You find yourself in the night. You are overwhelmed with great sleep. My prayer place was a football field in Kano. Every night they will see me walking in the on the football pitch. Sometimes I would do like this, or I will lie down. I did that for many months. Hallelujah. One day I went for my elder brother's wedding. So from there, a pastor came and met me and said, "I want to go and see one man of God." I said, "What happened?" "See, the man of God is hearing things about the man of God he doesn't like. Let's go and advise him." I said, "That's not my calling." He said, "The man of God was his best man in his wedding. He's very tight. Let's go there. Me, I'm the teacher. I can bring out scriptures and maybe he'll be convinced and he will stop some things." Now, when this man of God is a prophet, prophesies a lot. We now start in the parlor. The man of God now came from his room. Meanwhile, that time he was still a genuine prophet anyway. But now, you know, the Holy Ghost does not move because he wants him to move. He moves because he wants to move. He moves because he wants to do what he wants to do. And then suddenly people begin to expect you to perform. And if you yield to that temptation, you just discover that there's a thin line between an accurate prophet and a false prophet. The inspiration will still be coming, but you will not be coming from God. And people that are high in spirit will know that your source is not pure. He came out of his room. He shook me. When he shook me, he shouted. And he began to speak in tongues. Spoke in tongues. Then he began to prophesy. I want to share that prophecy with you. A part of it. Because it was true. But it took that prophecy for me to know the effect of my prayer. He shouted, the first thing that he said was that because of the prayers you have been praying consistently, you have broken many of the curses in your family. Now, so I needed that word, all right? Because I was praying for long and it was as if I wasn't getting feedback. God was not showing me anything. I was not hearing anything. Was I really laboring? Then I realized when that prophecy came that the best days of my prayer was the time that it was as if God did not hear. No feedback. And I learned, I said, okay, intentional prayer is powerful. There may be no wind, the prophet said. There may be no cloud, the prophet said. But the ditches shall be filled with water. When he said that, he said, your prayers have cut through the curses. Your family is coming out because of the prayers you have been praying consistently. Let's stop there. I won't take you into that prophecy. But I know because of my sake, the prophetic grace came upon him. Meanwhile, if a prophet comes out of his room and he has prophesied to you, you that came to help him, will you now say, let's do Bible study again? So after he prophesied, we'll say, okay, well done. He has prophesied. But I regret that we left that day without engaging that young man. That would have been an opportunity to save Nigeria's prophet. Because at that tender age that he was prophesying like that, governors were visiting him. All kinds of people were coming to him and exploiting him with money. Then he became a soothsayer. Now a magician. And he's good at magic. You know, you need to be a prophet first before you can be an ezemo. Oh, you are not aware of that. Okay, let's stop there. I won't go further. He said the prayers had cut through the curses. I said, oh, glory. That the prayers are pierced to damage so many installations. It is good. Many of us don't fly long enough. To the time where the wind and the energy begins to wane. So I said, okay, so I'm doing good. I went back to Kano again and then I dusted my trousers. I said, here we go. That prophecy renewed my strength. And I began to pray intentionally. Intentionally. Pray intentionally. Pray intentionally. You know what came back first? That sharp praying. But God now said, you will not use it to get PhD. Use it for my Bible, for the world. I preach many times, Genesis to Revelation comes to my brain. I don't need to open the Bible to show you a reference. I can quote it. He said, you use it in the Bible. I did not give you for a carnal use. I gave you for what? Do you know how many of your stuff has been kept? How many of your things are no longer available to you? How many of the ordinations that God has released that have not reached you? And a prince walks on foot while servants ride on horseback. We are going to pray tonight. I would like you to sustain the tempo of the prayer because we are praying the prayer of Noah. Make a way where there seems to be no way. Cause rivers to flow to the desert. Let there be a highway in the wilderness. Since Adam, I was a first preacher in my family line. The first preacher that has preached on this scale. Many, some rose and that they fall. The first preacher that survived. In my mother's family, my father's family. God will make your own way for you. Maybe when you check, you didn't see any way for yourself. Don't worry. Priesthood can create a way where there seemed to be none. We were praying those days before my transfer. We were praying. We saw a bulldozer in Makurdi. You remember those? Baby. It is now I'm understanding. I'm understanding that God is saying that if we don't create the way, there will be no way through the land. I thought some big anointing will come and create a way for us. Then I just realized that it is our responsibility to sow. If anybody said you will not marry, that's a legislation. We will create the way for you. We are going to pray tonight. And in our prayer, we want to rebel against the laws, the verdict, the judgment of the devil. We are going to rebel against the law of gravity, that which makes things go down. Is a fall. It makes everything fall. So that no man has a capacity to stand erect. It makes everyone bow down. Held under siege. Come on, shortly after my father died, because my father was the one that came and told my grandfather that when you die, no one will practice witchcraft again to the end of time in this family. So, but we'll not force you to change. But what you are doing will die with you. It will lose memory. It will lose essence. Even your name will die with it. Those were the words he used to tell him. One day they led him to Christ. After they led him to Christ, 1 month later, they shot him, they struck him. And he went to rest. And when his wife, my grandmother, saw that he was dead, she died too. So they died on the same day. He died at 120. She died at 109. And do you realize that those are the oldest people since that day? The rest die at 60. My dad 62. My uncle 64. How did they live to 120? I hope you know that's the fall. It's a fall. No, you can create the pathway. My God. It's not a 62-year-old man is young. The other of my uncle was about 54. And you see, they fall. You know, they fall. It's falling. Everything is falling. It's just going. It's falling. And then very soon, you begin to see 32, 25. Is what? Is there's a fall. Until a priest will come and bring a clean creature. The question is, are you the one who is to come? Or should we expect another? Should we wait for your son, your daughter? Yes, I know the many stories you can tell about the things that don't work in your family. That's what is happening everywhere. Your own is not different. But a priesthood comes to create a way where there seem to be no. Just in case they say no one among you can be great. That's a legislation that came from the coven. It has the support of the gradient of the fall. But you see, there's something stronger than that which sin has created. The name of it is called righteousness. Today you are going to rebel against Satan. And just in case you are here and the spirit of supplication has not rested on you in a long while, because if it rests on you, you're able to defy sleep. You can plan to pray by two and the spirit of supplication will wake you up. Meanwhile, you have worked hard, but by two, the sleep will just, it will be paused, because a spirit needs your attention. And then you not walk based on the rudiments of this world, the elements of this world. Your life cannot be influenced because you are after the order of him that is called everlasting. I want you to rise on your feet. I don't know what limitations you have been forced to accept, but you are going to rebel against the devil and will maintain the temple of prayer until we see that the heavens open and that there's an amendment to the constitution. I rebel. Maybe they said something. Maybe you are experiencing something. There's an unwritten law that exists in your family. There's something happening in this state that God has not ordained. All we need is the priesthood of understanding. Men that will offer up sacrifice and retrieve a verdict from God, retrieve legislation from God. That is the assignment of the true church. You can rebel against the devil. You can rebel against the devil. There is hope in your intercession. Your intercession is creating a pathway for an intervention. Oh. Call upon his name. Call upon his name. Horanaman sote bakabalataha. The leper said, "Why sit we still until we die?"
Rabade, Reskomasika Mataya. That legislation from the kingdom of darkness that has placed a limitation on your life, that has placed a limitation on the church of Jesus in this land, that has strangled the government of our day, that has made us fugitives in our own land, we reject it. We push back the hand of the enemy. We push back the hand of Satan. We push back the hand of Satan.
Oh, Elobia la baboribanda, elebaskelo,
In Jesus' name. There is a question here in the scripture. It said, who is he that speaketh? And it cometh to pass when the Lord has not spoken. It means there are some people that pride themselves in speaking. It's not the Lord speaking, but they speak. And they intend that that speaking will stand, will come to pass. But it's not the Lord that spoke. You see, witchcraft, necromancy swims along the tide of the fall. So the elements lend themselves. Have they spoken? Have they said, you will not go beyond this age? You will not marry? You will not? That utterance went out in a violation of His Majesty. That utterance, that proclamation went out in the violation of the authority of the Most High. We want to invalidate every such utterance. You want to invalidate. You want to invalidate. We come to court tonight. We come to court tonight. It is not written. It is not established in the law of the Lord. So tonight, we bring that utterance to nothing. The Lord has not sanctioned it. The Lord has not ordained it. It was not from the mouth of the Lord. Who is he that speaketh? And it cometh to pass when God has not ordained it. Every utterance that was born in the chambers of darkness to regulate brainwave state, I come to you today, oh God. It did not come from you. I render it null and void. Who is he? Who is he that speaketh? Who is he that makes a proclamation? Who is he that speaketh without the authorization of God? We render it null and void. Even the counsel of Ahithophel, we turn it into madness tonight. May the Lord arise and let his enemies scatter. Who is he? What is his rank? By what stature does he speak when the Lord has not ordained it? Alababara Mosakona Masida
Ambrestovo no te bacaske, rabato teneno monoto, esoda I caparatolia mamarata. Who is he that speaks? Under God, there is none like you. Among the God, who is he that speaketh?
Every star I kill among the God.
Unauthorized utterances. Unauthorized verdicts. Unauthorized proclamations. We bring them to naught. Let the counsel of Ahithophel be turned back. Let every utterance that went forth without the blessings of the Lord become nothing. Become nothing. We bring them down.
In Jesus' name. The Lord himself said that he will pour upon the house of Israel the spirit of supplication. You see, what we are talking about here is a spirit. It is that spirit that will wake you up by 2 a.m. after a very tedious day's job, because a spirit is involved. The Bible says in the book of Psalms 80 verse 18, it says, quicken us and we shall call upon thy name, except you have the help of a spirit. You will not have the capacity to apply enough pressure to change the legislation. Can we ask God today for that spirit? We want to be regulated by the spirit of supplication. That spirit can move. Maybe early in the morning, you are in a place, a high place, and fried chicken is served, and rice is served, and suddenly that spirit moves. Say, it's not time. It's by a spirit. Can we ask that God will pour out upon Ben Weston the spirit of supplication, the spirit of intercession, that suddenly the voice of the land will begin to ascend to the courts of God? We need the help of a spirit. 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 Send us help. Our strong men are weary. Our leaders are without perception. The land plunges into darkness daily. We ask for help. For help. Send us help. Kobani sanamana rekote. Elon Brezike da kola mahabadai saboro. And the Lord smelled a sweet savour. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. That was the utterance. I will not again. This man has forced a legislation out of heaven. That's the work of the church. We are supposed to storm the courtroom of heaven. And through priesthood, we receive legislations, amendments, that will create new possibilities for how things will be. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Amen. We are rounding up now. But we'll round up with the testimony. There is a woman that evil spirits used to appear to. And one day, three of them appeared to her. And they confirmed her death. That her death was certain. Somehow, she came in for one of our meetings. Through the operation of the gift of word of knowledge, we were able to discern that the spirit of death was hovering over the life of somebody. And when the ministration began, the Holy Spirit arrested the woman. In addition to other people that the Holy Spirit wanted to help. Now, what happened when she came was that there was a counter legislation. That even though there is a verdict over your head that has given instruction to demons to ensure the orchestration of your demise, there is a counter verdict that is coming from the highest court of heaven. That is the role of the church. One of the reasons why we were created tripartite, having spirit, soul, and body, it's because of priesthood. Through your spirit, you can mount up and actually respond to summons in the court of heaven. Through your spirit, you can carry out intercession that ascends, that has the potential to ascend into the court of heaven. And that intercession will appear in the court of heaven as a witness. Just like blood too has immortal properties. blood, when shed, can ascend to that court. Just like when Abel's blood was shed, it ascended to the court. There was no lawyer that was there arguing for Abel. It was the blood that was doing the argument, making the demands, and putting pressure on the righteous nature of God to be just. It was a demand on his justice system, on his judgment, and on his equity. Hallelujah. The blood alone ascended there, and the verdict was released. There is one name God had. He's called what? The immutable. Now you have a remote control, Abby. You can press mute. That means don't talk. But God is what? Immutable. Nobody can stop him from talking. If through talking he created this universe, Satan knew that he could talk again. What Satan cannot stop is that God can speak again. And the church is the infrastructure that is set here on earth to retrieve those verdicts from the mouth of God, just like Noah retrieved a verdict that conditioned the possibility and the pattern through which prospect can yet be retained in a fallen world. We need words from his mouth. When Paul was called into ministry, Ananias, the brother that was sent to pray for him to be delivered from his blindness and so that he can be filled with the Holy Ghost, he went with strong words from Jesus. He said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus that appeared to you on the way to Damascus is the one that sent me. He has sent me to tell you that you have been chosen as a vessel, that you will know his will, that you will see the righteous one, and that you will hear words from his mouth." We are talking about words from his mouth. That is what can change everything. Satan knows that words can come from his mouth. Every priesthood is set up to receive legislation from God. Thank you, Jesus. Listen to me. There is somebody that walked into this place. I'm seeing it clearly now. You came here with the spirit of death. But you see, as I spoke about words, there is a legislation. If I lie, you will know. There is a legislation. There is an utterance that has gone forth in the realm of the spirit that verdict did not come from heaven. It's disallowed. You see, I am a law enforcement agent. He says, "Saul, you will hear words from his mouth." The immutable speaks today, he speaks tomorrow, and he speaks forever. Our function is to secure words from his mouth. Once those words are secure, a new template upon which things will happen begins to find expression. Why? Words. Words. I was there in the village when God spoke to me. He said, "You will preach my gospel in the nations of the world." I was just coming back from the stream. It was in the stream I learned how to swim. River Niger. Oh, Jesus. There was nothing in the environment that suggested that this guy can leave this place and become anything. But what did I receive? Words. Heaven and earth can pass away, but those words, they are immortal. They are eternal. It can prosper. It can wait until an appropriate season comes for it to find manifestation and expression. And so if he needs to send anything, he sends his words. Right from that place. If I one day I was moved and I shared it with my brethren, that God said, "I will preach in the nations." Because of that, they hated me with passion. You hatred came, but you know what? They did everything. Even my pastor, when I told my pastor, he laughed and he almost fell from his seat. But when I went back to him, he spoke what? What? He says, "Saul, not a preacher will tell you this thing. You have received the privilege from Jesus to hear what? Words from his own mouth, not from the mouth of an angel." He said, "Such is the privilege that you will have in the kingdom of God. Oh my. When the man that received word from his mouth arose, the result was 2/3 of the New Testament. He became a colossus, an icon. Went back to Arabia to do honeymoon with Jesus. He was the only man that went for honeymoon after his salvation that I saw. You didn't go. When you gave your life to Christ, continued your own life. He went to Arabia for 3.5 years for honeymoon. Came back a colossus. I don't have time to show you the 9 things he saw in Arabia. So that when the things he spoke, when Peter was old, Peter said, the things brother Paul has said, they were difficult to understand. He heard words from his mouth. He conferred with the immutable, him that cannot be shut up. And the church is supposed to secure words. Words from his mouth. It came to pass in 2009. That was the first time I boarded an aircraft from Abuja to Lagos. I thought we would die before we got there. The turbulence was much more than the one on Urukum roundabout. I thought it was my last day. When we were taking off, I said, oh God, I didn't know it would end here. It was from that point in Lagos, we waited till evening, about 5 hours for our flight. It was delayed. Straight outside this country. When I landed, I thought I had died. But you know what? Words. When I entered the hotel room, Jesus that spoke to me in the village, he appeared to me in the room. I'm not saying an angel came, Jesus. I've seen him 5 times, and one of those times he met me outside. And he said, if I told you about your international ministry in the village, you won't believe. So I came here to tell you that you are an apostle to the nations of the world. There are many nations I've never been to. My sermons on internet that they have picked. You not believe how many nations want our presence in their midst. Even Kenya, some people started one ministry and say, we have started your ministry. I say, shut it down. God has not spoken about Kenya. He has not spoken. Words took a village boy, took him to the nations. Hallelujah. When I landed in the meeting, the first thing that happened was that the cripple walked. That was how the meeting started. The boy's leg was twisted like this. It was not the boy they brought for prayer. The mother just carried the boy. She's the one that came for prayer. I said, no, what of this one? They twisted leg, twisted back. Because words went forth. He's immutable. I will wait on him until he speaks. If he has traveled, he will come back, but he must speak. Such is the way of the intercessor. He's persistent because he waits for what? For words. Now let's cast out that spirit of death. Let's cast it out. We're out of time. I wish we had one more hour. Words from his mouth. Anywhere you are, you can speak in tongues for the next 5 minutes. As we invite him to come take away that which he has not planted. For every tree that my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted out. Anything that God did not utter, that God did not begin, that which God did not start, that which God did not start, he will bring an end. Just in case you were told in the dream that your days are numbered, I come with words from him that is the resurrection and the life. Who is he that speaketh? And it cometh to pass if the Lord God has not sanctioned. Whoa! words from his mouth. Ola mosa kabene kando samandela brasketo mashika berekapotema. You have been subjected to torment. Torment that is not of God. Torment that is not of God. But right now, God has come. The immutable is here tonight. Roske de na kando sabarakata. The invincible, the all-knowing, all-powerful. It's illegal for someone to speak a thing expecting it to come to pass when it was not you that spoke it. It's illegal for someone to take the seat of a judge and to declare a verdict over a life that they did not create. It's illegal for a man to proclaim limitations over the destinies of such that he has not manufactured. And on the strength of this illegality, Father, tonight, we seek that this illegality will cease in the lives of your people. We approach the court tonight because we know that you judge righteously. With you is equity. With you is justice. With you is true judgment. And Father, tonight I ask concerning that one that wears a cloak of death, that walked into this place, but unknown to him, unknown to her, she travels with a verdict. He travels with a verdict. And the transactions of death to secure an appointment with such a personality has been put in motion. Today, Father, by the justice system that is righteous, by the name that is all powerful, by the spirit that is perfect, we ask, oh God, that that legislation, that utterance, we revoke it, we repeal it in the name of Jesus Christ. In the place where death was written, tonight we write life. We write life. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name.